They basically said, well, they were protecting survivors. That's not true. So we have insisted that she needs to come under oath on April 14th. James Comer has reiterated that, and I expect that will happen. She will have to answer for hours and hours questions about why there are still 3 million documents being hidden, why there was a cover-up of those files that implicated Donald Trump.
What was that hearing all about? A surprise to you, too, from the day before. You'd been calling for her to testify, and yet she wasn't even under oath. And if you can talk about Comer, the head of the House Oversight Committee, incredibly insulting Congressmember Summer Lee, telling her to stop bitching.
Well, it was a sexist slur against an African-American woman. It was totally uncalled for. He owes her an apology. He owes an explanation. I mean, that just harkens back to an ugly past period in American history. I believe she came there to try to earn some goodwill. She was, like I said, gracious initially about saying, actually, we needed the law. By the way, she herself acknowledged that it was more than Epstein and Maxwell, that there were many men who went to that island who were either implicated in horrendous behavior or who covered it up, and that this was not a hoax. But I think she really was trying to get out of her testimony in terms of the subpoena. It's not going to work. That's why House Democrats didn't ask long questions. We didn't want to give her an excuse not to show up at the deposition. She's going to show up. And
we're
going
to have to leave it there. Thank you so
answers.
Much for being with us. Democratic Congressmember Rokana on the House Oversight Committee. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh for another edition of Democracy Now!
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, a local prominent Trump supporter resigns from serving the president. Now he's under an FBI investigation. A Wyoming senator criticizes Oregon's voter registration methods as he fights for what's called the SAVE Act. But Democratic senators in Oregon say that measure would target legal American voters, making it tougher for women and people of color to cast votes. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Thursday, March 19, 2026. I'm Annette Newell. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. The FBI is investigating a two-time Republican congressional candidate from the Vancouver area. Joe Kent, the former director of the National Counterterrorism Center, resigned this week over opposition to the USA's ongoing war with Iran. Now he's under investigation over allegedly leaking classified information. Kent, a top aide to Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, announced his resignation from the job Tuesday, arguing that Iran did not pose an imminent threat to the U.S., and urging President Trump to change course on the Middle East conflict. Meantime, the president's party pushes his priority of changing the requirements to register to vote. And Wyoming U.S. Senator John Barrasso today targeted Oregon in his arguments for what Republicans call the SAVE Act.
36 states in America, including Wyoming, my home state, requires voters to present an ID when arriving at the polls. Can't be what Senator Schumer called fringe. It can't be a fringe to adopt a common practice in America, in 36 states, and around the world. So why do Democrats continue to oppose the Save America Act? What is it that they're trying to protect? I spoke on this floor about the mess in the state of Oregon. Oregon hands out driver's license to illegal immigrants. Easy to get. In Oregon, a driver's license comes with automatic voter registration. You get a driver's license, you're of age, you're automatically registered to vote in the state of Oregon. As a result, from 2021 through 2024, hundreds of illegal immigrants were given driver's licenses and then automatically added onto Oregon's voter rolls. People are astonished when they hear this. Oregon is still scrambling to try to clean up the mess. When Americans hear stories like this, they lose faith in our elections and our system. The real voter suppression threat is not photo ID, but it's Americans losing trust in our elections. That's what we need to be concerned about. They lose trust when they learn that illegal immigrants are on the voter rolls, are being allowed to vote.
And that was Wyoming Republican U.S. Senator John Barrasso on the U.S. Senate floor today. But a very different view comes from Oregon U.S. Senator Ron Wyden. in his home state rallying people behind the cause of opposing the SAVE Act.
I'll just tell you, the only thing Donald Trump designed this bill to save to Republicans who prop him up in the Congress. He wanted to celebrate this year's 250th anniversary for the Declaration of Independence. He'd be acting to encourage voting in the fall. But the reality is he knows his mismanagement and mayhem have made him the Republican brand about as popular as King George in July of 1776. So instead, he is declaring an all-out assault that is dead set on suppressing the vote here in Oregon and nationwide. And we're here to say Oregon's not going to let him get away with it. I want people to know that as one of your United States senators, I am fighting every single day in the United States Senate to make sure this bill dies the death that it richly deserves. One casualty of the Save America Act is that Trump and the congressional Republicans have ginned it up so that they could put together something that would gut vote by mail. The fact is that people like dropping their ballots off at our library. I love to go to Selwood in our neighborhood. And for 30 years, Oregonians across the state have done this safely. They've done it effectively. And they've done it in libraries. Americans would face a whole host of new hurdles and bureaucracy trying to vote. And that means shelling out $165 for a passport if you want to register to vote. It is particularly horrendous, truly god-awful, for millions of married women whose current name doesn't match a birth certificate or a passport before their marriage. What a phenomenal headache it's going to be if they get away with that. And a third major casualty would be a sacrificing of Americans' privacy. The needless scheme would provide incentives to states to submit their voter registration list to the federal government. Now Donald Trump is throwing one of his classic tantrums to say what he'll do if he can't get the bill passed. He's just going to stop everything else. So if you care about housing, you care about hunger, you care about holding down health care premiums, Donald Trump is saying, no, what I care about is taking over elections.
That's Oregon U.S. Senator Ron Wyden. He introduced Oregon's Secretary of State Tobias Reed, who's also been a firm voice on this issue.
250 years ago, our founders fought a revolution so that people, not kings, could choose their leaders. They built a constitution that put the power of elections in the hands of states and people because they had just defeated a king, and they knew exactly what happens when too much power is put in one place. And ever since then, this country has moved forward by expanding the right to vote, not by making it harder. Because every time we make it easier and more convenient for people to hold the powerful accountable, we get closer to that more perfect union, and we get closer to the dream of liberty and justice for all. That is the promise of this country. In Oregon, we take that promise really seriously. You could vote from home. You can vote on paper. Every ballot is paper. You can use machines that are tested publicly and repeatedly. You can make sure that every election is audited, because that's what we do in this state. When more people participate, democracy is stronger. When more voters can hold politicians accountable, government works then. That fundamental right to vote is under threat in this country. This SAVE Act that some politicians are pushing in Oregon, they say it's about election security. It is not about that. It's about putting new barriers between eligible American citizens, voters, and the ballot box. It would require people to produce a passport or a birth certificate or citizenship papers just to register to vote. Millions of Americans don't have easy access to that paperwork. It might be lost. It's expensive to replace it, or it might be locked away a long way from where you are. People who head off to college or moved and have left that in a safe deposit box with the parents. The result is that a lot of Americans will be denied their legal, constitutionally guaranteed right to vote. We have already seen what happens when laws like this pass. Think about Kansas. 30,000 American citizens were blocked because they couldn't produce that paperwork. That is not election security. It is voter suppression. The supporters of this bill claim that it is necessary to stop non-citizens from voting. There is literally no evidence that this is a problem that is affecting any outcomes, any election. Non-citizen voting is vanishingly rare. It has not affected the outcome of any single election. In Oregon, we reviewed 60.9 million ballots over about 20 years that they were casted, and we found 38 cases of unlawful votes. 38. That is not a crisis. It's not even really a rounding error. So if this problem doesn't exist that supporters claim is the reason for this bill, we have to ask, why are we trying to create barriers that would stop Americans from voting? Give the president credit. He recently said the quiet part out loud. He said, the SAVE Act will guarantee the midterms. In America, there are not supposed to be any guarantees about elections, not for Democrats, not for Republicans, not for presidents. The voters decide. And that is the point of democracy. But Donald Trump has made it clear he only believes in elections when he wins. If he wins, the system works. If he loses, the system is rigged. And now he's backing a bill that could block hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of Americans, eligible Americans, from voting. And the question is why. He knows that he is unpopular and his policies are unpopular too. And that if Americans get a fair vote, he is going to lose. So instead of trying to win over voters, he's trying to change the rules of the game. And that is not democracy. As Secretary of State, I got to tell you, this bill would also saddle the states with massive costs. In the middle of an election system, trying to remake our voter registration systems and require states to hand over sensitive voter information to a federal government that does not respect or take seriously their obligation to protect that kind of information, while doing nothing to address the actual threats to our elections, cybersecurity and misinformation and the violence and harassment that election workers are facing in the real world. Americans do not have to choose between secure elections and accessible elections. We can have both. And in Oregon, we prove it every time. We test machines, we audit ballots, we verify signatures, and we make sure that voting is convenient.
That was Oregon Secretary of State Tobias Reed. And Oregon U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley took to the U.S. Senate floor, also explaining why he's opposed to the SAVE Act.
Let's call this bill what it really is, the Stop Citizens from Voting Act, or STOP Act. It's about rigging the next election. Donald Trump said it himself. He said, you pass this act and it will guarantee the midterms and every election for a long time. And why did he have such confidence that it would guarantee the November election for his party? The answer is because this bill is about stopping groups from voting who tend to vote for Democrats. This is, again, about rigging the next election. Now, repeated investigations by law enforcement, by news organizations, by universities have found that you are more likely to get struck by lightning than for a non-citizen to vote. It is not just rare for a non-citizen to vote, it is super rare. In Oregon, a review of vote by mail by the state over 20 years, 2000 through 2019, found less than 1 in a million cases of voter fraud. And in Utah completed a citizenship review of its voter registration list of more than 2 million voters. They identified one non-citizen, one, and zero instances of non-citizen voting. One registered out of 2 million, zero voting. Even Speaker Johnson admitted about non-citizen voting that it's not something provable. Well, actually, what he really should have said, it's not provable because it's rarer than rare. And that's why we know this bill is not about non-citizens voting. It's about stopping citizens from voting, starting with the impact on married women. Republican plan, stop married women from voting. It says each state has to submit its voter registration database to the Trump administration. The Trump administration will go through and identify anyone it suspects might not be a citizen. And it has clarified that that means if your last name is different than the name on your birth certificate, you are suspect. That means 69 million American women get pinged by the Trump administration saying, we're not sure you can vote, and you're going to have to start from scratch to re-register. And re-registering is very difficult. You have to have a passport, or you have to have the combination of a birth certificate and another form of approved ID in combination, either a passport by itself or two forms of ID, one of which is your birth certificate, and that other piece has to be very specific, meeting the terms of the bill. In Oregon, our estimate is 700,000 married women would have to re-register to vote, including my wife. My wife's name is Mary Sorteberg. That was her name on her birth certificate, except on her birth certificate, her middle name is different. When we got married, she changed her middle name to honor her grandmother, Rose. She would have a hard time voting. Millions of American women would have a hard time voting. It's also about stopping tribal citizens from voting. The STOP Act makes it impossible to use your tribal ID to register to vote. And tribal citizens are less likely to have a passport. Many do not have a birth certificate. All across America, there are people who have been born at home who do not have birth certificates. More common in some tribal communities. And tribal communities are remote. Often, they have to travel a long ways to get to a place where you could register to vote, because you have to register to vote in person. So all these things are designed to make it hard for tribal members to vote. And that's wrong. This bill is also about the less affluent being able to vote. A passport takes 6 months to get and costs about $165. That is a big toll. A couple, if they were trying to get that passport so they could vote, they might not get it in time for the election, and they'd have to pay $330. That is a poll tax on the less affluent to be able to vote. We know that the less affluent are much less likely to have a passport in the first place. In fact, only one in five Americans who earns less than $50,000 has a passport. The STOP Act is designed to make it hard for students to vote. It says you can't have a voter drive. Why? Because you can't register people at their dorm room with ordinary documents the way it's always been done. No, they have to go in person to an election center. And who knows where that election center is? And they're going to have to miss class or go to do it. And why can't I upload these documents online to be examined? Because they're trying to make it hard for you to vote. Because students tend to vote on the blue side. And if you need your birth certificate to register, now, if you're going to school in a different state from where you're registered to vote or where you would register to vote, you would have to travel home. Many students don't travel home during holidays because it's expensive. And students often don't have money. They're struggling to pay that tuition. That's a big imposition to saying you have to travel to another state in order to be able to register to vote. Under the amendment that has been filed by the Republicans, it bans vote by mail. Now let's think about how hard it is to hold an election in a state like Oregon or a state like Utah that vote by mail. Oregon hasn't had a vote at a polling booth in 28 years. This law goes into effect immediately. Our primary election in Oregon, how are you supposed to get all those polling places in place, all that whole new system, in just a few weeks' time? Extremely difficult. And then you submit your voter database to Team Trump. They purge it with a very big bias to make it hard for demographic groups that associate more with Democrats to vote. They ping them and say, you're no longer registered, you have to go re-register. And maybe they get that ping. The election in Oregon's on May 19th. Maybe they get that notice on May 10th. You've got 9 days to get a passport. Not going to happen. 9 days to reach out to your counties where you were born and get a birth certificate. Not going to happen. Millions of people instantly defranchised. Students, tribal members, the less affluent women. This bill is targeted at them. This is wrong. Every one of my fellow senators on both sides of the aisle know what this is. This is an attack in a partisan basis to rig the November election. It's really a violation of your oath of office. So let's not let this happen. This egregious assault by an authoritarian president. We have already seen this authoritarian president take away powers from this body, the House and Senate, Congress, that belong under the Constitution to Congress. Our founders said the power of taxation, including tariffs, belongs to Congress. This president took it anyway and said, I don't care that I'm violating the Constitution, challenge me in court. Took a year for the courts to act. He proceeded to say, I'm going to cancel programs that are both funded and authorized by Congress, which is a violation of law and the Constitution. It's the power of the purse. And he said, I don't care, challenge me in court. He proceeded to launch a war without authorization, even though the Constitution requires this body to authorize a war. And now we have House and Senate leadership conspiring with the president to strip the vote from millions of Americans, an extraordinarily unconstitutional act. There is probably nothing more sacred in a democratic republic than the ballot box. It is the beating heart of what it means to be a democratic republic. This bill takes a knife and stabs it through that beating heart.
That's Oregon U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley. And Democratic Washington State U.S. Senator Patty Murray is blaming travel headaches on Republicans' refusal to negotiate on reforms for immigration and customs enforcement actions in blue states and cities.
These long lines at the airports are thanks to the Republicans. Republicans are holding TSA agents' paychecks hostage because they want to provide more money to ICE without basic reforms. In the last days, Democrats tried 5 times to fund the parts of DHS that we all agree on, things like TSA and disaster relief. But each time, Republicans objected. I tried to pass a bill that would fund everything at DHS except ICE and Border Patrol. Those negotiations continue. Republicans blocked it.
I object.
Then Senator Rosen tried to pass a bill to at least make sure TSA agents get paid. Republicans blocked it.
Senator Kim then tried to pass a bill to fully fund the agency in charge of cyber defense.
Republicans blocked that bill too. Then Senator Murphy tried to fully fund the Coast Guard. And yep, Republicans blocked that as well. If Republicans won't work with us to rein in Border Patrol and ICE, we should at least get TSA and FEMA and the rest of these important parts of DHS funded.
That was Washington U.S. Senator Patty Murray. Legal experts on the West Coast are speaking out on staffing industry fraud, which has been increasing in recent years. Now, some state lawmakers are considering new regulations, as Suzanne Potter reports.
The temporary staffing industry in California is plagued by wage and insurance fraud, with cases piling up in recent years, according to legal experts. In January, a judge fined a company called Mann Staffing in Ventura $650,000 for failing to provide workers' comp insurance. The feds prosecuted California staffing agencies for tax evasion in 2018 and again in May and December of last year. Attorney Shadi Kamiyabapur spent 14 years with the Orange County District Attorney's Office rooting out employment fraud. She says many low-income workers are suffering.
They don't pay them the prevailing wage, the prevailing wage contract. They discourage them from filing work comp claims if they're injured on the job. There's a lot of retaliation.
Part of the problem is a lack of regulation, so state lawmakers are now considering the Staffing Agency Fair Employment Act. The bill would require temp agencies to register with the state and prove they have workers' comp insurance. Supporters argue this would level the playing field, since fraudulent agencies who don't pay for insurance have been undercutting legitimate staffing businesses. Kamiyabapur says the new standards would lay the groundwork for future prosecutions by establishing a basis for accountability.
At the very least, they are certifying under penalty of perjury that they are aware of what their obligations are to these employees, what they're going to be held accountable for.
She notes that in the future, California may see more state-level prosecutions of bad actors in the staffing industry, explaining more DA offices are making use of a state grant that allows them to hire more attorneys who specialize in workers' comp fraud. I'm Suzanne Potter.
U.S. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen faces a tough grilling in his bid to take over at Homeland Security. Several senators continue to push for a war powers resolution on Iran, and Arizona educators want to rein in private school voucher funding. Here are some of the stories making headlines about our democracy in today's edition of 2026 Talks.
Republican Kentucky Senator Rand Paul says Oklahoma Republican Senator Mark Wayne Mullen has anger issues and not enough self-control to be the next Homeland Security Secretary. Mullen nearly came to blows with a labor leader during one Senate hearing and said he, quote, completely understood why Paul was violently attacked in 2017. Mullen's confirmation hearing was tense, with senators from both parties sharply questioning if he has the temperament to lead an agency already under fire for excessive use of force. Mullen says he would end policies by the last secretary, which slowed disaster aid. Mullen also says, if confirmed, he'll require ICE agents to get judicial warrants, something Democrats are demanding in bills to reopen DHS. Mullen says the department's month-long shutdown puts lives at risk. FBI Director Kash Patel is echoing that, saying even as we're at war with Iran, the shutdown is disrupting joint FBI and Homeland Security terrorism investigations.
So when you bring the powers of the Homeland Security folks, DHS, and the FBI together, this is the purpose of it, to get after not just the terrorism threat, but the violence and the criminal activity in our cities.
Many Democratic-led cities described as plagued by murders by administration officials, including Patel, have actually been seeing historic reductions in violent crime and murder rates for years. Democratic lawmakers were referring to themselves as the Senate Six, are demanding an Iran War Powers resolution get to the floor. Virginia Democratic Senator Tim Kaine says a lot has changed since the chamber voted down a similar resolution a few weeks ago.
13 American troops have died. Futures cut off, families bereft and grieving. We learned yesterday the number of Americans seriously injured in this war now tops 200.
Iran is keeping the Strait of Hormuz all but entirely closed. Oil prices spiked to more than $110 a barrel after Israel hit an Iranian oil field and Iran attacked a Qatar fuel hub. Trump has asked various nations, including adversaries like China, to help reopen the strait, but has been rebuffed. Despite that, the White House says the U.S. may soon attempt regime change in Cuba, either by negotiation or military force. Polls show a large majority of Americans oppose this, and they oppose the Iran war by as much as 3-1. Arizona educators won a ballot measure this fall they say would bring more accountability for parents who get tax credits for homeschooling or private school tuition. They say the $10,000 vouchers available through the state's Empowerment Scholarship Account program have been easy to abuse because of a broad definition of education-related expenses. Rainey York is with the Marana Education Association.
90% of Arizona students choose public schools, and of the 10% choosing these vouchers, most are already in private schools. So this is taxpayers funding that private school choice.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
And the struggle of Trump's new nominee for Homeland Security Secretary has special significance for the Native community. Antonia Gonzalez has the latest on that and more in National Native News.
U.S. Senator and citizen of the Cherokee Nation, Mark Wayne Mullen's nomination to become the next Homeland Security Secretary hit a rough patch, as correspondent Matt Laszlo reports from Washington.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem lost the faith of President Donald Trump. But the pick to replace her, Oklahoma Senator Mullen, lost the faith of Senate Homeland Security Committee Chair Rand Paul, for marking him for being attacked by his neighbor,
who told the media that I was a freaking snake and that you completely understood why I had been assaulted. I was shocked that you would justify and celebrate this violent assault. It caused me so much pain and my family so much pain. I just wonder if someone who applauds violence against their political opponents is the right person to lead an agency that has struggled to accept limits to the proper use of force.
Mullen's a former MMA fighter and wasn't backing down.
I have to address the remarks the chairman made, calling me a liar. I think everybody in this room knows that I'm very blunt and direct, and if I have something to say, I'll say it directly to your face.
While the heated exchange made national headlines, most Republican U.S. senators shrugged it off.
I didn't go like each other.
I'm not going to get involved in that.
Reminding what my mom would say is, if you don't have something good to say about somebody, those rules we learn in kindergarten still apply up here as well.
Those Republican U.S. senators are Roger Marshall of Kansas, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, and Ted Cruz of Texas. Even Mullen's home state colleague, Oklahoma Republican Congressman Frank Lucas, was taken aback.
I never impugn the opinions of my colleagues, so maybe there was a little bit of truth in what they both had to say.
For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
California Native American Assembly member James Ramos is urging for the establishment of California Native American Day as an official paid state holiday. A bill introduced by Ramos would designate the fourth Friday of September as a paid holiday for state employees. Ramos, along with tribal leaders, legislators, and labor leaders, held a press conference in Sacramento. Ramos says the state should honor California's first people with the paid holiday.
It's true and just that this has to happen. It's time that the voices continue to move forward and to make sure that we're calling out for respect and honor for California's First People and tribal elders.
Ramos says they have many worthy holidays, but the bill creates justice for past atrocities toward California Indian people who've lived through colonization, including the Mission and Gold Rush eras. Several tribes are working to bring back bison to their lands. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports, one source helping them is in Denver, where the local government manages a herd.
Snow was falling fast and hard at a mountain park west of the city earlier this month when 34 bison were gifted to four tribes or nonprofits. Denver has managed two small herds since the early 1900s and started giving some animals to tribes 6 years ago. Lewis Talbull is with the Talbull Memorial Council, which has members from various tribes. This year, the organization is taking one bison back to a property it manages near Denver.
The bison represent so much. They represent the water and the fire and the thunder and the clouds and the snow. At the same time, they represent us as indigenous people.
Tribal leaders said the animals would add genetic diversity to their growing herds and help feed tribal members with a historic food source. The Navajo Nation got 11 bison in the transfer, and Northern Cheyenne in Montana received 10. I'm Rachel Cohen.
Thanks so much for tuning in with us here on the KBOO Evening News for this Thursday, March 19th, 2026. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-245-2158. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes producer Annette Newell, our engineer Otto, and our director of evening news, Althea Billings. Special thanks to Public News Service and Native Voice One. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I am Annette Newell. All of our KBOO programs, including the evening news, are supported by our members. So if you'd like to become a member and support our programming, text KBOO to 44321. And stay tuned now for KBOO News In Depth, up next.